in Christ Jesus, who lived the perfect life that we could not and overcame every temptation that we did not, dear fellow redeemed. Have you ever had a rough first day? Maybe you were hired for a job and it turned out to be something completely different than what you thought it would be. Maybe you came back after a long period of vacation or rest, maybe after many classes, and it was a rough day. First days can be intimidating. It can be a hard dose of reality that this world is very tough and it's very hard. What was your worst first day? I remember one of mine. I was 17 years old, working a summer job at McDonald's. I did not want to be there at all. I was forced to get this job, and I just hated it. My bad attitude did not help. Probably made the first 4 hours of that job feel like 4 days. Perhaps you can relate. Here in our text today, we have Jesus on his first day on the job, so to speak. Our text is Matthew 4, the first 4 verses. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And we had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus had lived his entire life perfectly to this point. He'd just gone through a wonderful account of his baptism by John in the Jordan. He didn't have time to celebrate this or to revel in it, though. Mark says immediately after his baptism, he was led into the wilderness. Jesus underwent this 40-day trial period, and he did it fasting. He didn't eat. He'd abstain from food to steel his mind, in a sense. He could better focus on what the devil would throw at him if he didn't have any food. But what Jesus used as a sense of, as a way of to focus, the devil used as a way of temptation. Notice how Satan here is described as the tempter. Now when the tempter came to him. This is an apt title for Satan. The tempter, Satan, uses things of this world to tempt us. They tried to tempt Jesus here. This is often a common tactic still used on Christians by Satan today. Why couldn't Jesus change these stones into bread? He clearly had the power to be able to do it. Jesus' miracles show us time and time again that he had the power over physical things. He fed the 4,000, he fed the 5,000, he turned water into wine. He made the disciples' fishing boat nearly capsize with so much fish. So it's not a problem for Jesus, and Jesus was probably starving. I know personally that I get irritated when I haven't had food for a long time. I probably couldn't go 40 hours, let alone 40 days without food. Now, on top of all of this, who would Jesus be hurting here if he changes these stones into bread? He wouldn't be hurting anyone. This is a common excuse used by people today. People say, "Oh, I'm not hurting anybody. How can I be sinning? If I'm not hurting anyone, how is it wrong?" This indeed would be a victimless crime for Christ to do this. But what was our Savior's response? Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." This phrase, "it is written," is the perfect response to the devil's accusation. It is written in Holy Scripture, it was written, still applies to Jesus and for us. Well, what part of Scripture was Jesus quoting here? It's from Deuteronomy 8. "So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." Moses told this to the Israelites. There's a picture that the Lord used. The message is don't depend on food to survive, but rather depend on every word that comes from the Lord. Jesus has power over this world. He could have easily changed those stones into bread. The tempter tried to goad Jesus into using this power to make that temporal pain go away. Oh, you think you're the Son of God, Satan tells Jesus. Well, let's prove it here. Make yourself a meal. But the greatest human of all time would not be distracted from the truth, that is, namely, the Word of God. We rely on God to provide us all things in this life. Every possession is a trust from the Lord, and Jesus knew this. If Jesus does do this, he would be obeying the devil, and also, he would not be trusting in his Father for all things. By Christ stating here, it is written, he is showing us that he does have power over earthly things, and that power is deeply rooted in his trust to his Father, God. What can we take away from this account? Our perfect Jesus was tempted. He used God's word to get through that 40-day period of temptation. But that same tempter who tempts Jesus tempts us here today. Satan used some incredible temptations on Jesus. Jesus had power, so Satan used powerful temptations. What about us? The tempter, the devil, does not need to go through such lengths to get us to sin. He uses things of this world to distract you. He tries to get you to trust in yourself. He tries to get you to think that you won't be sinning if you're not hurting anybody. He tries to get you to bow down and worship false idols, money, sex, our own intelligence, to not have God as our number one priority. How are you doing against this tempter? When we take a close look at ourselves, we know that we're failing. How easy it is for him to whisper into your ear to get you on that wide road to hell. Jesus couldn't be shaken by the devil, but us, we fall for it every time. What hope can we have? The new temptation the devil whispers into your ear is, it's hopeless. You can't be saved. I've gotten you so many times. Your sins are so great, so many. You are hopeless. Dear Christians, do not stand for this. Answer him the same way Jesus answered him. It is written, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. And again it is written, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And again it is written, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Away with you, Satan. It is the gospel that gives us this power, gives us this reassurance, gives us this salvation. This account of Jesus shows us that Jesus went through temptations just like we do, and that unlike us, he never sinned once. But because of his great love, he lived that perfect life. He suffered that innocent death that we deserve. Jesus loved you so much that he withstood every temptation, and now we receive his righteousness, and we will inherit eternal life. Jesus' first 40 days of the ministry, first days on the job, weren't easy by any means. He had been put through the ringer, and he passed every trial the devil threw at him. Jesus would never fall away. He would overcome every temptation. He would do it for you and for me. From this account, we know that Jesus withstood every temptation because he never failed. We can't fail now because of our great substitute. Praise be to God that we have a Savior who loves us so much and who is perfect, so we also could be perfect and inherit eternal life. In his name, amen. We conclude our chapel this morning with hymn 416, verses 1 and 3. 416, 1 and 3.